Did you get to see the prophetic word that God gave us today? It was awesome. We're going to read it tonight. I really, really want to admonish you how important it is to stay in touch with the prophetic words as they come out. They are instructional. They are timely. And they really explain what exactly is going on in the moment. So we should be a people who are not with ever not knowing what's going on. I woke up this morning with a dream. In a dream, a line of people held hands as far as the eye could see on either side. God said, stay on the front line. You are a barrier between darkness and light. God spoke further. The strong ones must stay on the front line of battle and protect the weak ones who cannot fight for themselves. They must protect vulnerable humanity no matter how hard the battle line becomes. It's a lot of instruction in that. God spoke again. Pandora's box has been opened. The curse has come upon the world. Did you catch that? The curse has come upon the world. Inflation is just the beginning. Wars and rumors of wars. With this much devastation across this land. Revelation 12:12. So rejoice, O heavens, and all who live there, but doom to earth and sea. For the devils come down on you with both feet. Like how the Message version says that, with both feet. He's had a great fall. He's wild and raging with anger. He hasn't much time and he knows it. God's speaking again. The woes have begun. Mankind is about to forego a great transition, one that has never been witnessed before. The all-consuming dark evil has been loosed upon the land, and only the strong will survive. Children, stay at your post at all costs. Do not venture into the unknown, uncovered. Take my son's blood with you and destroy the darkness on all sides. My people must come up hither. Lean upon my bosom and allow me total and complete control of life's circumstances. Now is the time to forge forward into the unknown and allow me to lead, guide, and protect you at every juncture in the road that lies before you. Very strong instructions, but very timely for what is going on right now. Now, in the rest of the prophetic word, God explains what Pandora's box is all about. We're not going to go into that tonight. So please, if you have not read it, go back in there. This very detailed information about Pandora's box. The next thing we want to look at is the vision of the Lighthouse Church. God gave this to Pastor Barber way back in 1984. And if you don't understand, these are the things that God has called us to do. Us who are frequent here. And whatever the vision is of your church that you regularly attend, that's the vision that you need to support. But for those who are here, this is what God has called us to do. God's desire for the Lighthouse Church is to win Lower Delaware and the Lower Delmarva Peninsula for Christ. It's a huge area. It's a huge area. The Lighthouse will be a hospital for the wounded in spirit, body, and soul. Alcoholics, drug addicts, depressed, oppressed, demon-possessed. The Lighthouse will be a beacon for all the world to see. One of the things that God just said, that we were on the map. He spoke through Pastor Barber and told her we're on the map. The light will be so bright it will draw all men to Christ. The church will be one of unity and love. The love of Christ will be seen on everybody's face. And the love of Christ will be poured out on all those who enter in through the Lighthouse doors. God stated that the Lighthouse would be a spirit-filled church where only the Holy Spirit would have full reign and dominion. All flesh would be dead, and only Christ would be seen. When we teach or preach, the love of Christ is to be taught. The wrath of God is to be taught. Jesus would always be lifted up. The following are three ministries that God said he wanted birthed in the Lighthouse Church: deliverance, prophetic teams, Christian school. Followed it up with, the harvest is ready. We must go forth and thrust in the sickle. This is a very, very important time. And I have some good news for you. If you're here, you are considered to be strong. You can't say I'm weak. So get that in your spirit. Stop looking for someone to come and coddle you, put diapers on you, and give you a bottle. That's your job to do with the new people who are coming in, who are going to need that. You are a strong person. You are a strong-willed person that God has placed in this body to go forth and help and to do this works, to do this prophetic word back to the Pandora's box. The strong ones must stay on the front line of battle and protect the weak ones who cannot fight for themselves. So be empowered with the Holy Spirit tonight to do this prophetic word. Father, I thank you for your awesomeness. I thank you for your power. And I thank you for these people who came here to hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we just give you permission to continue to move in our midst, continue to touch us and uplift us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I apologize if I sound like I'm slurring my words. I lost a tooth 2 weeks ago, and it's in a place that's odd. And I really feel like my voice has changed, and I'm trying to, bear with me, suck spit to try to keep it out. So I am not doing this on purpose. Whenever this heals like it's supposed to, my voice should return. So tonight God wants us to talk about America is fallen. And we need to come to grips with the reality of what is really going on right now. There is a war that is coming. It's been prophesied that we're going to war with China and Russia. And I want you to look at some interesting things that were brought out in an article in October of 2022. I'm going to give you this full article at the end of the service, but for right now, I want to show you these highlights. U.S. military rated as weak may not be able to win one war as tensions grow with China and Russia. The current U.S. military force is at significant risk of not being able to meet the demands of a single major regional conflict. The report said the force would probably not be able to do more and is certainly ill-equipped to handle two nearly simultaneous major conflicts. Across the services, the report rated only the Marine Corps as strong in the think tank's assessment of force capacity, capability, and readiness. While the Army achieved a marginal rating, the Space Force and Navy were labeled weak, and the Air Force bottomed out as very weak. The particular problem with that is if you look at our priority theater, the Indo-Pacific, the two priority services are the Navy and the Air Force, and those seems to be the ones that are doing the worst, the House Armed Services Committee member told reporters. To strengthen its might, the U.S. must be willing to invest in military hardware, ships, missiles, and other weaponry to supply the force with the equipment needed to prepare for future conflict, according to the report. Think about this. What manufacturing companies do you know of that are making bullets, bombs, airplanes? Yeah. They're not producing enough. The armed forces also have capacity problem, not having enough personnel, weapons, and other equipment to fight a war. The report rates the Navy worse than its sister services, dropping its capacity rating to 2 notches from marginal to very weak, the lowest on the scale. At the center of the hard power problem is the Navy's shrinking fleet size, according to the report. To fight in 2 wars, the think tank said the Navy would need about 400 ships, a drastic bump from the current 292 ships the service said it had as of last week. In 2018, Congress passed a law mandating that the Navy reach a target of 355 ships as soon as possible. So we're in 2023, and we still only have 292 ships. But listen to this. Instead, the service has cut ships faster than they have built them. So we're not keeping up. The ships are falling apart. We're not keeping up with repairs, and we're not building them enough. But even as vessel numbers have dwindled, Navy operations have not slowed, creating an additional hurdle to the growing fleet, Heritage senior defense researcher Dakota Woods said Tuesday. The U.S. has about half the ships it had during the Cold War, but the number of ships at sea at any given time, about 100, has not changed since at least the early 1990s. So we got a report saying we need 400. We actively have 292, but there's really only 100. Is the United States ready to go to war with anybody? Do the American people know this? Are they aware of this fact or this reality? Now, is our president aware of this? Obviously not, because he's continuing to do the things that he's doing to put us in these wars. This is going to be in the second handout. We're number 25. U.S. slips again in annual Global Economic Freedom Index amid mounting deficit and debt burdens. Especially notable is the continuing decline within the mostly free category of the United States, whose score plummeted to 70.6, its lowest level ever in 29-year history of the index. The U.S. is now the world's 25th freest economy. What do we hear? We're number one. We're the best. We're the greatest. We're 25. Does the average American citizen know that? The major causative factor in the erosion of America's economic freedom is excessive government spending, which has resulted in mounting deficit and debt burdens. Wait till you do your taxes this year. Wait till you do your taxes and you realize that the stimulus checks that you got in 2020, you now are starting to pay for. That wasn't free money. We're paying for those things now. It's coming right back to us. We've seen a lot of countries across the world engaging in dangerous monetary policy with their central banks, printing too much currency, and with overspending, said Griffith, who noted the U.S. is no longer ranked as the freest country in the Americas. The United States has been one of the worst offenders over the past 2.5 years, and that's a large part of why we have sunk in the ratings when it comes to our debt load and government size, which is really dragging us down and making us less competitive. You have to see, body of Christ, leaders, strong individuals. The United States is going down. It's going down. And the sooner that we embrace this reality, the sooner that we can tell other people, things have to change. We can't just talk about it anymore. We have to be about it. And we have to educate our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ and the rest of the world and tell them, this is what's really going on. This is reality. We cannot stay in this fake world that our media and the TVs and the cell phones are allowing us to stay in. We've got to get into reality. Revelations 18. the fall of Babylon the Great. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. This is talking about America. In all of the countries of the world who have used us, who've taken things from us, given to us, exchanged, this is us. This is what's happening to us. And if you look there, Babylon the Great is fallen. Are we listening? Are we hearing and seeing what's going on? This passage of scripture is talking about the destruction of Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is introduced in Revelation chapter 17. The Spirit of the Lord must open your eyes to some truth tonight. This truth is in regard to our nation, the nation of America. Because of the state of the compromised American church, the truth of where America is really at is being glazed over. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want you to know what's really going on because they're afraid that you're going to be afraid. They're afraid that you're going to fall apart, not know how to handle yourself, and then they're not going to know what to do. But we're not such people because God has said that we're strong. God has said that we have the capabilities and the skill sets that are going to be needed right now to lead other people. So none of this stuff should scare you. The church in America is spending too much time on frivolous discussions about doctrine, revival, sex, money, and empty humanistic philosophies. The church in America has gotten away from preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because prophetically, we are in a time of the great falling away. This situation is not going to improve. It is only going to further decline. This is not my will, but God's will that is being done. There's something that God is doing, and it's happening right before our very eyes. Let's stop here for a second. There is a grave misconception about the purpose of church. Many people in church are walking around with the false concept that all of the people who are falling away can be regained back into the kingdom of God. There are no scriptures, nor is there any biblical proof that teaches this concept. I don't know where it came from, but it is giving people false hope and a false perception of reality that everyone is going to be saved. We are adamant that once saved, always saved is a lie from the pits of hell. Yet we need to be equally as adamant that the truth of the Bible does not depict that everyone will be saved. We have to get this mindset out of our thought process because it's putting us in a place of complacency. If everybody's going to be saved, I don't have to pray. I don't have to worship. I don't have to study the Word of God. I don't need to do deliverance because eventually the wind is going to come by and everybody's just going to fall into place. No, we got to have a passion. We got to have a zeal for the lost, for the people who are dying, because we don't know if we're going to be the ones who have that message, that word, that anointing that they need to pull them out of the pits of hell. So we don't just lay down and just let them go in the hopes that something is going to happen to them and then they're going to be saved. No, we dig in. We get deeper into the anointing. We get closer to Christ so that we can do our part. And we can say, God, I did everything that you asked me to do. And he can look at you and say, well done and good and faithful servant. But the church has this mindset that it's just going to be handed to them. The glory is going to fall. Everything's going to come to you and everybody's just going to automatically be saved. It's not going to happen. There's no scripture in the Bible that says that. It's a nice thought and it makes us feel good and fuzzy on our insides, But this is not reality. We have to work. Everyone will not be saved. Some people will make the choice to not leave their sin. We see this all the time. We see this all the time in church. We see this all the time in deliverance. People don't want to change. They like their sin. They like doing what they're doing. They like their quote unquote power that they think they have. God's given me the power to heal. Where did that come from? It came from a demon. You need to give that up. No, I'm not going to, because I like healing people. There are people right now who think that they are Jesus Christ in the church. They have the mindset that they're greater than God. And they're professing this more and more every day. They're on YouTube. They're teaching other people, and other people are following them. And we have got to start saying, no, this isn't the truth. You can't do this anymore. You can't continue to place these falsehoods out here and us just let it go. It's not going to happen. The wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23. This is a hard concept for people in the church today to perceive and understand. We are taught about love and how God wants no one to go to hell. But the reality is the church has added something to the Holy Scripture that is 100% false. The concept that everyone is going to be saved, this is simply not true. And we have to stop propagating this. We have to stop believing it. You can see the fruit of what the enemy sowed with this misconception. If everyone is saved automatically, then no one is going to hell. That's not godly. That's not Bible. Then why do we need to fight for people's souls? Chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. Therefore, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged itself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Do you realize that hell is enlarging itself daily? Who's going into it? Christians. Christians who are falling away. They're turning away from God. They're getting into doubt and unbelief. They're saying, this isn't worth it. I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to be afflicted anymore. I'm just going to turn and go the other direction. These are the ones who are stepping into this hell. Hell is enlarging itself because people are choosing to go. God isn't making people go. No, on the contrary, God doesn't want them to go, but he cannot force the people to not go. Joel chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There are so many people that just need us to do our part so that they can come into the kingdom. But there's other people who are making the decision to go the way of hell. The truth that not everyone will be saved is troublesome for some people because they have not yet grasped the truth about what happens when people harden their hearts. They've not grasped the truth of what happens when people harden their hearts. As people's love grows cold, their hearts become hardened to the things of God. With that hardness comes a deadening to the things of the Spirit, and this opens a person up to rebellion. This opens people up to rebellion. And what's in the atmosphere right now? Full-blown rebellion. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, and no one is going to stop me. You're not going to read scripture to me. You're not going to bring me into deliverance. You're not going to love me. I'm just going to do what I want to do. The same thing Satan did. Rebellion. And this is something that the church has to get back to teaching. Rebellion stirs up the wrath and anger of God. And if you don't see that, look at the stuff that's going on in the earth today. The earth is becoming wild because the sin has been sowed so much in the ground. It's like, I can't take it anymore. So we got the earthquakes. We got the floods. We got the strange weather patterns. Look at the weather we've had in Delaware. 1 minute it's hot. 1 minute it's cold. 1 minute it's raining. 1 minute we got snow flurries. All within the same day. This isn't right. It's the sin that's in this area. And I'll say this until God takes me on home. We have a man sitting in Wilmington, Delaware, who has a house, and he is a seat of power in darkness that is destroying the state of Delaware. His name is Joseph Robinette Biden. That power that's inside of him that's dark is also darkening even further the state of Delaware. It's not going to change until he gets out of it. It's not going to change. And we have to be aware constantly that we have an extra layer of darkness just because he is the head of the country. Can't talk about that in church, though, because he might stop by and give us some money. That's the mindset. That's the mindset. We don't want to talk about him because he's a good Democrat. He's a good Catholic. Can't talk about those kind of things. But the truth is the truth. And he's in full-blown rebellion. As much as he's done to promote and bring abortion and the transgender issues and the homosexual issues. No. Rebellion stirs up the wrath and anger of God. Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 19. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will trick you. It will deceive you. It will cause you to think that you're not overeating. It will cause you to think that you're not a homosexual. It will cause you to think whatever sin does it, and it does it well. And we have to exhort one another. Hey, don't do this. Get yourself right. Stay right. Encourage each other, because it's not going to take much for people to just fall away and go into nothingness. There are so many people who should be here today, but they let their sin nature, they let the trials, they let their afflictions carry them away from the real presence of God. I don't know that they can come back. I don't know that. And it's sad because they don't even try. They don't even want to get back in the house. They'll ask me all the time, how's Pastor Barbara doing? She's doing well. When are you coming back to the house of the Lord? It's sad. It's sad. And we should have a passion about this, not to browbeat them, but for the other people who have not taken that step, to go after them, to keep them from taking that step. Hey, how are you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Praying for you. Just stand tall, stand strong. Eventually your breakthrough is going to come. Don't give up. We have to start doing this for one another and for each other, because this deception is thick. Tied to this rebellion that's in the atmosphere, it's thick, and it will take you out. And we got to be fully aware of what's really going on and not playing games with it. Not saying, oh, poo-poo, you know, everything that's going on. We really need to take this seriously. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? This is talking to God's people. They heard, we heard, we know what we're supposed to do. But still there's this rebellion that's there. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? God killed off a whole generation of people because of rebellion. He'll do it again today. He'll do it again today. Don't fool yourself. You'll be gone. Verse 17, now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You can see here very plainly in Hebrews 3, 17, 7 to 19, that there was a severe price for hardening your heart. God doesn't like rebellion. Rebellion draws the wrath of God down upon the person in rebellion. Let's stop here for a second. I want to point something out that I don't think many people understand. When you reach this level of hardness of heart, it's not that God will not forgive you. It's not that you cannot be forgiven. It's the truth that you will not humble yourself and ask to be forgiven. You won't humble yourself. You won't say, yeah, I messed up. I need to repent. You just keep going on like nothing's wrong. Everything's good. I'm fine. I don't have any problems. That rebellion goes into motion, and that motion is to move you away from God. With the hardening of the heart comes an attitude similar to Satan when he fell that says, basically, I don't need God. I don't need to repent. I don't need to change. When people enter into this state, it is virtually impossible to bring them back. It will take extreme measures to get these people to repent. Again, it's not that God doesn't want them. It's not that God can't forgive them. They, in their own self, with their own attitude, stay in that place of rebellion that keeps them separated from God. We are seeing this with people who used to love the Lord, but now they have turned one too many times, and they just make the choice to not come back to God. You need to be aware that this can happen to you. And I was so glad when Pastor Barbara testified and shared her story about how she had to fight to keep her salvation. She just had to do this to keep believing in God, because that is such a real reality right now. And the honesty that God has given her really, really should encourage you. She fights the same battles, if not worse, than what we fight. So we're all in this together. And if we all lean upon each other and we fellowship together, we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we are going to continue to finish the race that God has set before us. Rebellion draws the wrath of God down upon the person in rebellion. Do you realize that we are living in a world where a significant number of the population is rebelling against God? Not just America, but the whole entire world. Have you ever thought about that? Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. I never saw that in scripture before. I always thought it was the flesh, but your mind has a part to play in this too. And when you think about this, God always tells us that we must renew our minds daily. So you can temper your flesh, but if you don't get your mind under the blood of Jesus Christ and renewed, you still can fall. You still will go back to fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Continuing on, and we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So all of these behaviors, these attributes that we stepped out of and we said we don't no longer want to be a part of, we have to in turn realize that the rest of the world wants this lifestyle. They want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. They want to be dirty. They want to be evil. And you got to understand that this is what we're dealing with. We're talking about this all the time now. Look at how mean people are in the stores, in the grocery lines, driving. This atmosphere is increasing. It's because of this right here. The sons of disobedience, they're growing. They're growing in intensity. And our eyes have got to be open and stop living in this la-la land that everybody's going to love. And everybody out there loves. They don't. There are demonic people that are set in this earth, and they just want to do evil. They just want to do evil. There are people who love to trespass and sin against God. They walk in this world. They are sons of disobedience. They are actively pursuing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. These people live with us in this world. They want darkness. They love darkness. And this is hard for us to conceive because we stepped out of it and we know what it was about. We don't want to be back in it. But you have to realize these people want it. They want that lifestyle. They are working together with Satan and his angels to set the world up for the beast kingdom. You have to connect all of the dots, all of the pieces. They are working together with Satan and his angels to set up the beast kingdom. That's their job, and they're happy to do it. We bring this up from time to time, but it bears bringing up again. There are people whose only purpose on this earth is to be evil, do evil, fulfill evil in a manifested form. Here's some examples. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord has spoken to Moses. Exodus 9:12. And the Philistine, Goliath, said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Evil. So she, having been prompted by her mother, Herodias, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on a plate. Evil. Conspired to have John the Baptist's head cut off. Then she, Delilah, lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Stop trying to make these people innocent. They're not. They're not. We've got to change this mindset that these people are innocent. I'm not saying don't love, but the mindset that everybody's going to do what's right, that needs to go by the wayside, because there are people who are evil, they're intent on evil, and that's what they want to do. We have to become wise in this. We are living in a day when the sons of disobedience are working together to prepare the earth for Satan to return and take it over. You may not be aware of it, but they're actively pursuing this. You can ask Brother Allen all the time about these different things. They are actively pursuing this. They are committed, unified, and working very hard to establish their kingdom on this earth. Scripturally, this has to happen for fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It has to happen. Can't stop it. You can't delay it. You can't make it go away. To the degree that we're putting blinders on our eyes saying, nope, that's not happening. I'm not being hurt. These evil people aren't doing things. It's to the degree that we're missing out on our opportunities to do what God wants us to do. Because if we don't accept truth and embrace truth, How can God speak to us and tell us what to do? If Pastor Barbara wasn't embracing of truth when she heard this word about Pandora's box and staying on the front line, phooey, that don't mean anything. Everybody's strong. They're good. All the people in the church are doing good. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. No, we can't live in a false reality. We have to accept the truth and embrace it. What we, the American people, do not see is how nations and leaders and evil people outside and inside of our country are working to make these things happen. These evil people are committed to our destruction. They're committed. And in some respects, we're helping them do it by dropping our standards and morals. I'm reading a book by John Hagee. It's called Earth's Last Empire. And he was talking about how the United States was formed. Many Americans saw the United States as an American Israel, with George Washington standing in the place of Moses. The dynamic collision of these different but complementary perspectives caused most of the founders to understand and agree with a very simple set of precepts. First, liberty is the goal or objective of the American Republic. Second, liberty cannot exist without virtue. Liberty needs virtue to thrive and succeed. Third, virtue is impossible without religion. These are the words of the founding fathers. They knew that you had to have God in order for this country to work. Therefore, because liberty requires religion, the American experiment can only succeed in a healthy religious environment. The American church has lost its virtue. It's lost its virtue. And without that virtue being present in America, we're doomed. We're doomed. Because what are our politicians going to rely upon? They don't have any virtue. I shouldn't say that. Some of them don't have any virtue. There's some that do. But if the church doesn't have it, where are they going to draw it from? Every part of our government has been compromised and corrupted. The more we study the scriptures, the clearer it is becoming to us that the United States is going to have a role in Bible prophecy, but that role is not a good role. It's not a good role. Revelation 17, 1-6, the scarlet woman and the scarlet beast. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." Pastor Barbara has taught on this multiple times, but the United States is Mystery Babylon. If you look at everything listed here in verses 4-6, a very strong case could be made that America is doing everything that is spoken in these scriptures. This cannot be ignored or downplayed, and the American church must get real with this and start preparing the remnant to understand what this really means. And as the remnant church understands this, we'll be able to understand why the apostate church is doing what it's doing. The apostate American church is not going to accept this, because our American pride has blinded it to the church that America is in sin. The American pride of the apostate church has blinded it to the truth that we're in sin. The body of Christ in America has a pride that has blinded us to the truth of where this country is really at with God. Our pride is keeping us from seeing the true state of our country. America is fallen. Revelation 17, 7 to 8. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I tell you, the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is." Let's stop here for a second. When we first started tonight, we started talking about the truth of how not everyone will be saved. What does the end of verse 8 say? "And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life." There's your proof that not everyone is going to make heaven their home. Mystery Babylon is being carried by the beast who is full of names of blasphemies. Blasphemy is simply the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. The act of claiming the attributes of a deity. Irreverence towards something considered sacred or inviolable. I didn't watch the Grammys. I didn't watch some of these television shows. But if you put a crown of thorns on your head and singing and gyrating and doing sexual acts, I would say that you're blaspheming God. I would. And this is what they're doing right now. These are the things that are prominent within our American culture. America has become comfortable with insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. America has ministers who claim that they have the attributes of God. America has disrespect for the things of God. The atmosphere that we're in right now is a growing intolerance for religion, true religion, and it has long been prophesied that open persecution is coming to American streets. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, there is a growing hatred for Christians because people want to have their sex without producing babies. Christians, Americans, abortion on demand is being requested in at least 24 states, with Delaware being included. Again, we're at the seat of power. We're at the seat of the negative power. We know that our current president is not a friend of God with the constant push towards transgenderism, alternate lifestyles, and the American church will not stand behind President Trump because he doesn't fit into their mold. If that's not a condemning statement, I don't know what is, because the American church is stupid. It's absolutely stupid. You will look at somebody who is doing everything in their power to try to create and promote and protect religion and protect freedom of speech, and you'll say he's not of God because he does certain things. America's fallen. In closing, Revelation 17, 15 to 18, "Then he said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth.'" So Mystery Babylon will be hated by the 10 horns, so much so that she, America, will be made desolate and naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. This does not sound like prosperity and blessing to me. This does not sound fun in any sense of the word. God is putting into the hearts of these 10 horns in order to fulfill his purpose. And God has said in the past that he was going to punish America for the sins that she had committed. Here's your scripture to back that up. We have fallen in every way, economically, politically, morally, and spiritually. And many refuse to see this because they're so close to it. We don't want to accept it. No, America's good. The leaders in American churches don't see it because it cuts against our feelings of worth and value. We're still giving ourselves prophetic words saying that God is going to bless America. We're still patting ourselves on the back saying how great America is. Can you not see the dismantling that is going on of our country? Are you that blind that you're still going to offer these things up and think that God is not going to have a say in it? This has been a systematic attack for a very long time, and it started when the church stopped telling the truth to the people. The church is in a mess right now. We are praying for a revival in America, but what does that really mean? We are praying for God to bring his glory in America, but what will that really do? If the ground on which the revival and God's glory is poured out upon is corrupted, what will really happen? If the church cannot keep it together spiritually, what hope do we have for political change? Serious times, serious things that God is doing, but he knew that we're able to handle this. He knows that we're strong and that we're going to continue on doing our duty and serving him. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be inspired with the truth so that you can go forth and minister the way God wants you to minister.